Hello, and welcome back to The Expatriate. I'm your host, Ian McIntosh. I hope you're doing well. This week, Vincent Mass joined me in my home to discuss working as an expat in Finland. Vincent is a colleague and a good friend of mine. We'll explore how he ended up living here and dive into the good and the bad of life in Finland. I hope you enjoy. Hey, Vincent. Welcome to The Expatriate. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing good. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so why don't you start by telling us about where you're from?
Yeah, I'm from Saumur in France, in the Pays de la Loire. It's a nice small city. And yeah, I grew up there and yeah, stayed there until I was like 18. And then I moved out.
Sweet. And how long have you been living abroad?
Since September 2011, so that's like 9 years now, about. Yeah.
Okay. So I know you were living in Iceland before. How did that come about?
Yeah, that was the first place that I was living in. It actually happened very quickly before I kind of realized it. I was working in a restaurant and one day that it was pretty quiet, I was talking with my colleague about the fact that, well, my Icelandic friend was traveling back to Iceland. And so I thought that, yeah, it would be nice to go there and visit. And he said, like, yeah, you should, if you want to quit, now that's the time because the boss is here. So I was like, yeah, maybe I'm going to do that. So I just went and quit. And then I went home and told my parents, like, hey, today I quit and I'm going to Iceland in a couple months. So, yeah, I contacted my friend and she was saying that, okay, really, you actually quit? Because, of course, when she was about to leave, everyone was saying that, oh, yeah, I'm going to come and visit you and stuff. But I don't know. I think she never thought that I would actually do it. But, yeah, so that's how it happened. I don't know. While I was working in that restaurant, I kind of already knew that, yeah, food is not, it's something nice that I like to do, but it's not something I would really, like, I don't have passion for it. So if I go through with that extra year working in that restaurant, I'm never going to leave France or something. It was really the moment to do it. So I kind of went for it and think about how to really handle the fact that I quit my job and have nothing there after.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you had this moment of like, it's now or never, right?
Yeah, it doesn't work with everything. So I wouldn't advise to do that with everything. But yeah, that definitely worked for that moment. I always knew I wanted to travel. But that's also the thing that the first day at school I was 4 years in vocational pastry school, and the first day at school there, the teacher said that, yeah, if you don't like pastry so much, you should consider it with another eye. It's that it's a great job if you like traveling, because if you're French pastry chef, you have good chances to work in foreign restaurants. So that stuck with me for quite a while, and then, yeah, it eventually happened, so yeah.
Damn. Yeah. That's kind of crazy. So how many places have you worked as a pastry chef? Just Iceland and Finland and France?
Yeah, I worked, I basically, well, if you don't count the trainee, I was working just 2 months in France in that restaurant. Then in Iceland, I worked 9 months. But not in a restaurant. It was this, it's like this bakery that has like 3 different places. And I was in the one where they were making chocolate. So I was there for 9 months just working as a chocolatier with two other person. Because, well, as I studied that also in the pastry school, it was pretty easy. And then, yeah, in Finland, I worked in one, two, three restaurants, and then in a cafe. And after that, I just started this spring to work in the kitchen of a hotel as a part-time worker. But well, with the virus and all, I actually worked only four shifts there. So I don't know if you can say that I actually worked there, but yeah.
Yeah, but you have a decent amount of working experience here in Finland now, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I worked here nonstop from May 2013 until June 2018. So that's like 5 years of work nonstop. Every time I changed a job, it's because I got accepted in another place. So yeah.
How do you feel? Like, do you feel like there's a difference in the working environment here versus Iceland or France? Like, as a country, do you feel like there's differences?
Yes, with France mostly. Well, Iceland, well, I was there 9 months and I was younger and all. I don't know. And it was also the first time that I worked that long, and it was kind of like my first job and all. So it was, I didn't really know. But I think compared with France now, what I love about Finland is that, for example, in 2015 or fifteen, something like that, I took almost 2 months of holiday during the year with the boss approving all the time. And mostly in every places that I've been working in Finland, whenever I ask, like, hey, I actually have to go to another country for a week, or my parents or my friends are visiting, so can I have a week off to be there? They are always like, yeah, yeah, sure, just take the week off. And of course, it's not paid holiday all the time, but after you have this, I mean, you can always ask for time, and they ask you, like, yeah, do you want it to be like holiday or just
time off? The fact that you can just take time off like that and be able to come back to your work, even if it's unpaid afterwards, is kind of...
Yeah,
I mean, crazy coming from Canada. Like, I hear some, you know, you hear stories of people just like getting, like, having to take time off for whatever reason and getting laid off because they're not around, you know?
Yeah, it's really, I think that's really one thing that I wouldn't like going back to France or to any places, that if they tell me, like, no, you have like 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks of holiday, of paid holiday per year, and that's the time you have. So the rest is not going to happen, or I don't know. I'm not saying that it's never happening in other countries, but it's just so easy here that I really like that. But I guess it also depends a lot in, like, where you're working and how is your relation with your boss and stuff. I always had actually good bosses here in Finland. So yeah, it's not really a problem to, like, ask for stuff like that, especially if you are working properly. Then, you know, you do well on your work time, and then when you have something to ask, well, it's hard for them also to say no. So
yeah but that's still really, really cool. I mean, for you, because you've got a pretty you know, specialized skill set, I guess, as a pastry chef.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's not too difficult to find work.
Not really. When I moved to Iceland, it was easy because my friend Elin, who is Icelandic, she helped me a lot already from before I moved there. So at the time, I didn't realize it, but she actually helped me a lot with... when I arrived there, it was a Monday, early in September, and the next day I had my job interview that she already had arranged in that with that the boss of that bakery. Yeah, that's perfect, you know. Yeah, and then the dude there just told me, like, yeah, when can you start? And I said, like, I don't know, about next Monday, so I have time to spend a week checking out a bit how the city is working and to do some paperwork. And he was like, yeah, no problem. And at that time, my English was like almost inexistent. You know? So yeah, that went well. But then with Finland, it was much harder because I think because of how easy it went in Iceland, it gave me so much confidence to come here and start from zero again.
You thought you could just come in, find a job, no problem.
I knew it was going to be different, but I think I really didn't expect that much somehow. I mean, like, because in Iceland, I also, my friend took a room in a shared apartment for me beforehand. And now, when I moved to Finland, I found a guy who was renting room in an apartment in the center. And so I sent him an email before I moved to Finland saying like, yeah, I'm coming this day. Is it okay that I come and check out the room? And if there's no problem, I'll take it because I have nowhere else to stay anyway. And he said like, yeah, sure. No problem. This is the address. And that was about a month before I went there. And then the day I arrived, I followed that address. I went there, I rang the bell, and the guy opened and said like, no, I already gave the room to someone else. So I was like, okay, that's nice. So I had my luggage full with me, but no place to stay. So I just went to a guest house and stayed there for 3 weeks.
Wow. That's kind of shitty.
yeah.
Damn.
And then, so at that time, I had to find a new job and a place to stay. So finding a job took me about 5 weeks. So even though it's a pretty specialized skill, if you want to call it like that, it was, I don't know, it was pretty hard because people were usually saying, I mean, I just did door to door giving my resume and saying like, hi, yeah, I need a job. Do you guys need someone in the kitchen? And everyone was saying that, no, we don't need anyone, or like, no, actually we are full, or no, we're good. You know, pretty hard. But
do you feel like some of that was because you were a foreigner?
No. I don't think so. Because at that time, no, even at that time, I don't think I saw that as an issue, because and especially now that I've worked a lot in restaurants, I mean, I know that there is tons of foreigner in restaurants working, and if there was not these foreigners, the restaurant would be like half empty, like the staff.
All right, so they kind of rely on it.
I mean, in Helsinki, here it's a bit different, but in Helsinki, there's a lot of foreigners that are working in cafes or a restaurant, you know, to do service or work in the kitchen. So,
right, I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. You don't really need to speak Finnish to work in the kitchen, really.
To work in the kitchen, no. And in Finland, everyone speaks English, fluently, basically.
But, so I mean, that being said, there still is some, like, hesitation to hire if you don't speak Finnish. In some places, at least.
I think it would have been even harder if I would have been working only in the service. Like directly with the customers. But because I had to work only in the kitchen, I actually got a job. But and actually the first place that I worked in, that was more foreigner than actual Finnish people. So it was this restaurant that I was just walking down that one street in Helsinki, and I saw on the top of the door it said Chez Dominique, and I thought like, oh, that's French name, maybe I'll have my luck here. And I walked in there and they say like, sorry, we're closed for like, we open later during the day. I said, yeah, I'm looking for a job. So can I actually talk to the kitchen, like head chef? And so there's this Tony guy that came, Finnish chef, like really good chef. He came and he said like, yeah, we actually would need help in the pastry section. So when can you start? And so yeah, that's about it. But then when I started working there, there was also a guy from Venezuela, one from Spain, Italy, and then couple Finns. So yeah, a German guy and me from France. So that's like pretty, like that was basically the whole kitchen. So yeah, it's pretty international. And I didn't know actually at that time that when I, on my first day, I went there and I realized that everything was really like fine dining and all. I was like, yeah, that's like, that's actually a proper restaurant here. And they were like, yeah, it's the only 2 Michelin star in Finland.
Just happened to walk into that restaurant.
Huh? Yeah, I actually didn't know that. I should have checked before the place, but yeah, well,
but yeah,
I made it.
So. Oh, that's kind of funny. Yeah, well, we were sort of talking about, I mean, obviously, I guess in the food industry, it's not as much of an issue, mm-hmm. right? The language barrier. But I mean, it's kind of, I mean, to me at least, it's sort of ridiculous that Finnish is, I mean, I get that it's the national language, but mm-hmm. most people here speak English, right? Yeah. But yet I still get this feeling that if you don't speak Finnish, that they're really hesitant to hire you in a lot of other industries.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. It's
at least in some places. I think it is true. I've heard it from people, and I don't know. That's in my experience as well when I've looked at jobs.
Yeah. Well, I looked only for jobs in like restaurants and cafes. I mean, even since I started the school here in Tampere, because that's what I know the best. So it's like, mm-hmm. well, it's easier to do something that I already know. But even here, it's true that, yeah, people ask me a few times, like, yeah, do you speak Finnish? And I said no, and it's a bit tricky. Actually, last summer I was working in Helsinki in that ice cream place. And because they have another, they have one shop here in Tampere, in Stockmann.
Yeah.
They told me that, yeah, if you want to go there and, like, try to have a job there, like, here's the... like the recommendation from, because it's different owner even though right. it's the same company,
all within Robert's Coffee.
Exactly, yeah, they're all Robert's Coffee. And so I went to the one here and with the recommendation later, and she said that the owner there said, like, yeah, I saw that you have a lot of experience, and I got a call also from your boss saying that you are a great worker and all, but you don't speak Finnish, right? So I said, like, no, I know really the basics, of course, but not more than that. And then she was like, yeah, so I can't hire you because there's a lot of old people that come and ask a lot of questions, and they don't speak English, or they refuse to speak English because they are like... shy of their level of English or whatever reasons. But if I would have been working there, I would have been alone like 4 hours per day without a coworker that speak Finnish. So it could have been a bit problematic to talk with a client, and then they would probably have been like, oh, I'm pissed that they didn't
get
my request.
I mean, actually, I was in the Helsinki airport.
Yeah.
And I went one time when I was traveling through there, and I went up to the Burger King. I noticed that the guy who was running behind the counter, I think it was super late at night, but he didn't speak any Finnish.
Okay.
He was just an international guy,
yeah.
and he just spoke English. And like a few times some people came up and like tried to speak Finnish to him. And he's like, sorry, I don't speak Finnish. Can you speak to me in English? And like the looks on their faces, like some of them didn't care, but then the occasional mm-hmm. person would be there and they'd just like go like, and they look so pissed off, and I'm like, but you speak English.
But I think there's a lot of people that are like, yeah, I mean, they are, how to say, it happened to me a few times, like to meet some racist person in, especially when I worked in the cafe in Moko in Helsinki. So I was working mostly in the kitchen, but I was also doing a lot of like, you know, it's a cafe, so you are also like serving coffee to the customers or doing the cash register work and stuff. And it happened a few times, well, 2 times I remember at least, that once it was a woman that she was probably like 45 or something. She had a kid, and she came to me and she said something super fast in Finnish. So I told her, like, I'm sorry, like, can you repeat in English or a bit like, can you slow down a bit? And she looked at my colleague and she said in Finnish that this is really a shame that you guys are not hiring only Finnish people. And then she left. And I felt super bad that this woman is actually going to teach that type of stuff to her kid. And
yeah.
then the kid is going to become like that. And then another time I was alone in the evening for an hour, and there's this old lady that came, and she seemed super nice, and she started talking in Finnish, and you know, I wanted to like stop her at the beginning, like, sorry, I don't speak Finnish very good. And she kept on going and going and going, and then I told her like, I'm sorry, but I do you speak English a bit? And then she said something like very bad words in Finnish, and then she left, and I was like, okay, well, I'm sorry, but I can't do anything about that.
Not here to like destroy their culture, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I mean, it's I'm working full-time here, I'm paying my taxes, I'm doing everything like a normal Finnish person, except that I don't speak Finnish. It's quite, I know that after 7 years now here, I really feel like, okay, you should have learned Finnish, Vincent. But I don't know. Everyone speaks English very well here, right. Most of the people that I know. So it's very hard to start learning a new language. I understand Finnish quite much now, and I speak the basics, but it's hard to tell all my Finnish friends that speak French or English, like, now shut up, we start again from zero in Finnish, because it's we just have our like kind of automatism that
it would be different if if people didn't speak English here, and but it's the fact that like nearly everyone does, and yet you still run into these people who are like, and there's still this sort of background prejudice against it, even though nearly everyone here is fluent, and Finnish people would be like, oh, I don't speak Finnish so well. You speak speak English so well. Yeah. Like, they speak English so well here.
Yeah, they do. Like, yeah, even the one with accents or stuff like that.
Yeah, they still have clearly understand what they're saying.
A lot more vocabulary than me.
We had a funny experience not that long ago where I was walking down, you know, past the train station here in Tampere? And this guy like came up to me, I think asking for money or something in Finnish.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, sorry, I don't speak English. And he's like, where are you from? I was like, Canada. He's like, go back to your fucking country. And I'm like, okay, sir.
That's nice.
Like, he was coming up to ask me for something and then found out that I was a foreigner and told me to fuck off. And I was like, okay. Like, obviously, this is not the general rule here. People aren't generally that overtly xenophobic. But it was just a funny experience.
Yeah, it's you know, sadly, racism doesn't have any frontier. So, it's really, really hard. And that's the thing also. It's like, even though I'm a foreigner, I'm a almost 30-year-old white male. It's like super easy for me compared to many other people.
We're two white men sitting talking about our issues here. And obviously compared to other people, we've got it so easy. And I fully recognize that. Recognize my privilege for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, even though I'm saying like, oh yeah, it was hard here, that it took me 3 weeks to find an apartment and 5 weeks to find a job. I mean, I still got everything in like less than 2 months, and same for my papers and all. When my friend Ali, who is a Iraqi refugee, it's been like 4 or 5 years that he's here, and he's still struggling with papers. Like, they said that the job I'm doing is not important enough for me to get a visa, like working visa and stuff like that. And it's like, how the fuck my job is good enough and his job is not important enough?
Yeah.
And he said something really right, that because he was doing the dishes in the one of the cafe that I was working in. And he said that, if the sent back to their countries all the foreigners that are doing the dishes, Finland is going to get really dirty. And that was really true. Because I don't know. It's
no. And I mean, like, I feel like in terms of the prejudice, most of it is, like service jobs where you're dealing with people.
Yeah.
And as soon as you have like a degree or something like that, and you're looking at more higher paying jobs, I feel like the language thing doesn't become an issue, especially if you're looking to work with an international company. They're probably going to be operating in English anyway.
Yeah, true. And it's definitely a thing that, not in the near future, but in the future, Finnish language is going to be like it's just going to end. I mean, everyone speaks English fluently and all, so it's one of the
hopefully
languages.
Hopefully not too soon. I mean, it's got a cool history and we'll stay around. But.
Yeah, it has, definitely. Yeah, and that's why also it would be nice to actually learn it and like keep it going. But yeah, it's you can't face... I mean, some people are just so stuck in the fact that, okay, I was born in that situation. Things cannot change. I don't want my language to disappear. I don't want foreigners to come to my country more and more. Or, you know, it's like they refuse change.
Yeah, and things are going to change no matter what you do.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, yeah, whether it's English or like Mandarin that we all end up speaking in, you know, 300 years, it's going to be...
Yeah, of course.
You know,
things change. And that's just part of it. But I think the worst for me about not knowing Finnish is when I'm at Sara's grandmother's place. So when you have a girlfriend that has a Finnish family and the grandmother doesn't speak English, I feel really bad that whenever I'm around her and I'm like, God, I wish we could actually have a conversation, and she would like that too. And every time that we meet, she is like, "Ah, you still don't speak Finnish," and I'm like, "Oh my God, no, I still don't speak Finnish. I really hate myself for that." Because it would be like, she's probably the biggest reason why I would want to learn Finnish, like to actually have a conversation with her.
That's kind of true too. I mean, I met my girlfriend's grandmother recently as well, and it was like, it sure would be nice to know a little bit more than Kiitos.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit tricky, and that's always hard. But well, let's see. And now I've accepted the fact also that I don't speak Finnish, because when you live in a country where you don't speak fluently the language, you have a lot more space, like not physically, but well, in Finland, of course, you have a lot of space physically also. But I mean, if I'm in the bus in France and people are talking around, I can't really focus too much. I already have focusing attention. But here, people start talking Finnish, boom, my brains block everything out,
I know.
And I have so much space to think.
It's wonderful.
It's awesome.
I know exactly what you're talking about. When we first moved to Turkey, like, I didn't even realize it was happening, right?
Yeah.
But when I first noticed it is we spent the first summer I lived abroad in Wales. And when I was there, I thought, like, I was, like, hearing voices all the time. And I was like, what? I thought I was going crazy for a second. And then I was like, oh, I just know what other people are saying.
Yeah.
Like, I was so unused to having people speaking my language around me. That I was like, I was on the bus and I was hearing all these conversations. I was like,
I can understand you
I
now.
I can read minds.
it's pretty crazy. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really something that is it's something I wouldn't want to lose somehow, because it really helps to have a lot of this space to think.
Yeah, especially if you've got attention difficulties, that it must be just wonderful. It's like an instant off switch.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, now it's a bit tricky whenever I'm with some friends and they start a conversation in Finnish and I could actually understand what they're saying. I kind of have this automatism that, okay, now I'm going to block what is happening.
Yeah.
And then I start just thinking on my own. And then they say, what do you think? And I'm like, what? Sorry, I didn't listen. Or, you know.
No, I totally get that. That also, like, I feel like I'm starting to learn a little bit more Finnish and I start to pick up words, but it's really hard. I have to focus so much.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, if I don't focus, it's just background noise.
Yeah. But it's good.
Yeah. No, it's nice. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I mean, Finland is already... like a very quiet place.
Yeah, it is.
So if you don't even understand the language, then...
Yeah, you have like a ton of space then. Yeah, but that's what I like the most about Nordic countries, I think. It's that you have all that space that whenever I go back to France and I'm around friends or family or something, usually after the first day, Sara tells me like, okay, I have a headache now. And I'm like, oh, really? I don't have it. And she's like, yeah, there's like, I really... French people talk a lot more and it's constant. And she really understands everything, of course. And then after a couple of days, I start to have that headache too. And I'm like, okay, when are we going back home to Finland?
Yeah, I get that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm guessing from the way you're talking that you plan on staying here for a while longer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whenever I go to another country, I feel like, yes, I'm going back home when I'm in the plane to go back to Finland.
Really, so feels like your home now?
Yeah, definitely. Finland is my home, and I would be willing to move away for a year or two. As I'm planning to go to Japan as an exchange student, I'm also thinking if I find a good place to do a training there in a studio or something like that, or it would be nice to stay a year there. But it's different when you are doing an exchange, when you're a student, or when you really start from nothing in a different country. But I'm really happy I did that with Iceland, because it brought me to where I am now, also to Finland and all. But I don't think I would want to, even going back to France for full-time living there, I wouldn't like that. I think it's Finland is the perfect place to have a home, and the rest of the world is perfect to go for holidays and traveling, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly tempting to think about. I mean, I definitely want to try living other places, but Finland is a really nice country. And if you could get a job here, you get paid well.
Yeah,
you
know, that's the thing. It's
salaries are good.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy to go anywhere in Europe from here. It's easy to go to Asia from here. The whole lifestyle here, the whole system is working pretty well for everyone. I mean, of course, there's stuff not working and all, that's definitely true. There's no perfect places, but this is the place that works the best for me. And I think I don't want to sell it too much also to other people, because I like the fact that we're not too many here. But of course,
This podcast may be working against you. We'll see. I don't know. We can keep talking about the weather's horrible. Don't come here.
That's a thing, actually. I don't know. It's really that, how to say, it's a country that it's hard to like at first. If I would compare this with Iceland and France in that way, it's that, France, I was born there, so of course I kind of had no choice. But, and I really don't regret that I'm from there, and don't get me wrong, but it's a place, you know, we have the food culture and the landscape is very changing. If you go to Bretagne or south or north or, you know, Auvergne or wherever, there is tons of really, really beautiful places, good wine, awesome food, and all my family is there and all. And in Iceland, it's you go to that Iceland, island place where there's volcanoes and glacier and very little amount of people, and the landscape is just really, really beautiful. And it's kind of obvious beauty in those both countries. But then when you come to Finland, at first I was really thinking do I really like this place, or am I just forcing myself to like this place because I said I would move here, so I want to move here. But I think at first it was a bit like that, when I found a job and all, and I was thinking a bit architecture is not the most beautiful in, you know, coming from France.
Or, yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, it's a little bit stark when you come here.
Yeah, at least that's definitely the case and all. And the food culture, as Isabel and Laura said in the second episode, that it's very different.
That's a nice way of putting it.
But after all these stuff, I started to... you meet people, new people every day, and you start talking with them, and they're like, oh yeah, but you know, in my family we do like this, or oh yeah, when I was a kid this was like that, and then they take you to a new place for a weekend or something, and you discover very little by little that place is really, really awesome, and that it's, I think Finland is really not, well, not really not, but I mean, Finland is not the best place for holidays, but it's really the best place for actually living, and other countries are with more obvious beauties that you don't have to spend 3 months to discover them. It's really great to go for a holiday. So
yeah, what I find interesting about Finland in that way is that they're also Finnish people are almost shy about sharing their culture, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, they have a strong culture, but it's sort of in the background.
Yeah.
And they don't...
But I think it comes with the fact that they are afraid to bother people a bit.
That may be part of it, you know? And I mean, obviously they're not going to come up to you on the street and ask you where you're from or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like you might get in other countries.
Of course.
That's not their style at all.
Not at all.
No. But you kind of have to spend some time here and you start to realize like, oh, there are some like cool aspects to the Finnish culture that
and
really...
there's always some nice stuff that are like, of course, I don't know, it's kind of like, even though I've been here 7 years, I've experienced already the winter and it was the same in Iceland and all. And even though the weather is bad, I mean, it's not bad. It's just, where I'm from, there is no... Well, there was snow when I was younger, but now, you know, climate change and there is no more snow. And it's just really, really way too hot in the summer. And here you actually have the change. Like, okay, winter is dark and there's snow and it's proper winter. And then in summer, it's like, wow, it's not so warm, yes, but there's the sun all the fucking time. And that's really great. And it kind of gives this really good balance between like, okay, in summer you have all this different type of energy. And in winter you are staying at home with a little yellow light and drinking like coffee or a glöggy or whatever. And, you know, it's really cold outside. And I kind of like that two balance of life.
Yeah, you get that in Canada and it's just a little bit shorter. I think that's why, like, for me, it's just a little bit rough. Because it drags on just a bit too long.
Yeah, it is hard, though.
Yeah.
I think it was Isabel who said that in the second episode, that, when it's winter, you really forget that the summer happens.
Yeah, you forget
that
it exists.
The same. it's a nice, I don't know, it's an interesting thing, I think. Like, if you're in the winter and then you're like, oh my God, there has been no sun and just snow everywhere for the past 3 months. I can't even remember how this place looks like when it's sunny. But then when the suns come back in the summer, you're like, wow, this is so nice. And then you're like, I can't even imagine how is it with the snow anymore. And it's kind of like you're re-surprising yourself every year or every 6 months. And a lot of small stuff like that makes me really keep liking this country a lot. Like last weekend we went to my girlfriend's cottage place in the center of Finland, and so we stayed in that cabin. We were doing sauna every day and there is the lake there, so you go jump in the lake after that. And I was thinking like, damn, that's really something I would miss if I would leave Finland. I would really miss the sauna and the lake a lot. It's so iconic of the place for a reason, you know, for a good reason. And then the day we left, we were cleaning the place up and we went to see there's a fish trap there also. So Sara's grandmother said that, we should, if you guys want, you should collect some fish from there and take it home. And I was thinking like, yeah, sure, why not? But it was snowing outside, like really snowing. And I was a bit, you know, in a grumpy mood. And Sara said that, yeah, don't worry, I'll take care of that. So it was snowing outside. She went out by the lake. She collected this small fish. I don't know what is it in English. But she collected that and from the fish trap. And then she was killing them one by one outside by the pond that was going on the lake. And it was just snowing. And I was like, this is so Nordic, like in a really good, in a nice way. I was really smiling, like, fuck, we are in a small cottage. There's the sauna hut next door. It's snowing in like middle of May in the forest. And Sara is by the lake killing some fish. So we will eat that for dinner tonight. And I was like, well, that's definitely a strong Finnish thing that we don't have in France. And I really like that. It's part of the small thing that is kind of like every now and then it's nothing big, but it keep my interest for that country a lot. So.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. Those little things are the
It's that, those kinds of things that make me think, like, okay, maybe I could live here a bit longer, you know? Yeah. I mean, I say that now while the sun is shining out, but yeah. This morning when it was snowing and there was everywhere, it was the most sudden snow change, like the weather change, I mean, it's just, I woke up in the morning and there was snow everywhere and I was like, it's May, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
And then now it's a beautiful spring day again, the grass is green.
Yeah, you go to the toilet and you come out and, well, there's no more snow anymore. Yeah, that was pretty sudden, yeah.
Pretty crazy. I don't know. It's something I think I'll be thinking about for a while longer, whether or not I want to keep living here. Maybe I go away and I come back later. Who knows?
Yeah, I was going to say that it's one of the reasons also why I want to go to that exchange in Japan. It's that I'm really happy that I'm living here. And I know that for now, this is my home. It might definitely change in the future. But the fact that when I was in the plane to go to Iceland, and I felt this like, whoa, I'm really going like to a big change now. And that whole experience of the first weeks, like, you know, you wake up and you're like, fuck, I'm in that whole new countries that I don't know anyone or almost anyone, and I don't know what I'm doing here. And
it's exciting.
Yeah. And then doing the same here in Finland, I really liked that. But, and now I know that, I would say, it's kind of a feeling I'm pursuing a bit by trying to go to Japan, even though it's going to be completely different because, well, if I go there, I know that I have a place for me to stay there and I have courses and, you know, I mean, that's cool and it's a lot easier. But still, you have a little bit of that feeling that it's a new country and you're going to meet new people and new culture for a while. And I think even though I have this one place that I call home here, I think if I have the opportunity to go somewhere for 6 months or like a year in new places, I will always take it, I think. Even though this is the place that I will always come back, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's sort of, I don't know. Moving abroad changed me because since I was a kid, I loved, I'm like a homebody, you know, like I'm someone who loves to have like this one place where they're at home and comfortable. But now there's also a part of me that loves, like you said, that feeling of the unknown. So I don't know if I'll ever be able to stay in one place anymore.
And it's so satisfying to go to a new place. And, you know, I'm like you. I like to have my own space and all. But it's so satisfying to go to that new country and then you start from scratch. And then the first time you have a room for yourself, you're like, damn, I made it, actually. I actually made it. And, yeah, it's really like, you should keep traveling because it's really awesome. But yeah.
Yeah. But it's not so much like, I don't want like vacation places, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because vacationing is nice every now and again, but it's not the same.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Yeah.
Nowhere near. Like you got to throw yourself like into the deep end and just live somewhere for a long time.
You need at least 6 months, I think.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Really at least. That's the minimum. And I think after 6 months, you just like scratch the surface of
what
like,
it could be.
Yeah, of what it could be. Exactly. Yeah. But sometimes I really think about the when you said that it changed you, the fact that like to live abroad, it made me think of the fact that in when I moved to Iceland, I was thinking like, well, I had good grades in English in high school, so my English is probably not that bad that I can actually survive a bit there. And it was terrible. I mean, the level that I had then was, it was really the worst possible, I guess. And I was not at all the worst in English in my school. And, you know, it meant something back then. But when I go back to France now and I see how people are thinking and all, and people that never lived abroad, I'm not judging them like, oh, you don't know what it is to live somewhere else or anything. But I just, it would change so much their point of view on many things if they would go somewhere and realize that, yeah, you're a foreigner too. You know, you just happen to have never left your border. And, you know, like
exactly.
France is not it's really not the biggest place in the world. It's not the most important place. There is no places like that at all. It's a whole thing. We are all in the same ship and you can't say like, yeah, the back of the ship is more important than the front.
It fundamentally changes your perspective. It kind of, what you're talking about kind of reminds me of like that moment, I don't know if you've heard about it, like when astronauts go to space and the first time they look down and they see
like the entire planet, they have this realization. They're like, oh yeah, we're just on a rock hurtling through space.
Yeah.
Like, we are all in this together.
Yeah. Like, it's, I really don't get that competition. Like, I understand in the past, like, I would say, like, when we didn't have that big of an understanding of what the planet is, but, or like, you know, but now it's like, okay, we know how to build planes, how to do electricity, how to do all type of stuff, how to send astronauts to the moon, how to do whatever possible. So why the fuck do we have to keep that, no, America first, or like, you know, all that bullshit of no, our country first, or for our people? And it's like, aren't we all people from the same place? I mean, like, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's very utopist to
exactly think like
that,
yeah,
but it's you need some of that at some point, because otherwise you
And I mean, we're also very privileged in the way that, like, we have had the chance.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
to
definitely.
Travel,
yeah,
you know? Like, it's not... I'm lucky to have parents who were able to allow me to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and, like, I think, thank goodness they decided that they wanted to, you know, move us to Turkey, you know? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, this would never have happened. I probably would have stayed in the same... I don't know. I probably, farthest I would have moved probably from Ottawa to Montreal or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, it's just, I think about like the older people in my family who are like Islamophobic and all that kind of thing. And if only they could have just like go to Turkey and live there for a bit and realize that, like, you know.
Yeah.
People are just people.
Yeah.
No matter where you go, it's just people are doing the same thing.
And I learned that not, well, quite recently, if you think like that, that sometime I was thinking like, oh, but why people are doing like this in that place or like this? And then I realized that, yeah, but people who have grown in different part of the world and had never traveled anywhere else and never known anything else in their life that the way they are living now, how can we tell them like, no, your way of living is so wrong. Why don't you just do like this? And it's like, they don't know. And who are we also to tell them like, this is wrong? Or like, you know, it's very complicated. But yeah, as you said, though, we really are privileged. And that's really something never to forget, that, you know, as we said earlier, we are two white males in our 20s, almost 30s. So it's, I mean, you can't really get more privileged than that somehow. No. So, and that's definitely sad. And yeah, it's really something to remember. But yeah.
Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a good point to wrap it up.
That's good for me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you'll be back again at some point.
Of course. No problem.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Expatriate. Episodes air at 8 a.m. every Thursday. If you want to find out more, you can find us at The Expat Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks to Isabel and Laura for making this episode happen. This is your host, Ian McIntosh, saying goodbye for now. See you next week.